Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we'll be looking specifically at verses 9 through 14 this morning. And if you are looking on at a pew Bible, Deuteronomy 4 can be found on page 128. Let me read this for us, and let's listen closely, for this is God's word to us, his people. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb when he said to me, "Assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children." You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while it blazed with fire to the very heavens, with black clouds and deep darkness. Then the Lord spoke to you out of the fire. You heard the sound of words, but saw no form. There was only a voice. He declared to you his covenant, the Ten Commandments, which he commanded you to follow, and then wrote them on two stone tablets. And the Lord directed me at that time to teach you the decrees and laws you are to follow in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as a father of four, I'm doing a lot of warning these days. I'm issuing a lot of warnings. I thought it might be helpful and maybe a little insightful to let you know some of the warnings that I am giving to my kids these days. To one particular child, I say, be careful. Let's not dribble the ball in the house. You could break a lamp. You could hit another kid. A fight could break out. Not saying that's happened, but be careful dribbling the basketball in the house. Or to two of my kids, be careful as you cross the street. Particularly, we live on a dead end, and not a lot of people actually know that. And so I live in that kind of area right off Overton Road, close to Cahaba Heights. And you know, you think you can cut through on all those streets to get from Overton over to Cahaba Heights, right? You actually can't on my street, although people think they can, which means they go rather fast down the street, particularly our Amazon drivers. So be careful as you cross the street, because who knows, a car could be coming very quickly. For another child, not long ago, she was standing on a chair, and as I happened to walk into the kitchen, she had just decided she was going to post up and sit in the refrigerator and try to grab anything and everything she wanted. So, hey, child, let's not do that. Let's not stand on chairs. You could fall, and you could really hurt yourself falling out of the refrigerator. Here are some other funny warning labels that I did a quick AI search this week. I found some funny warning labels on different products and items, and perhaps you've looked up some of these. There's like 40 different warning labels that I looked at, and I think every single one of them, I laughed out loud to myself as I was reading these, and it occurred to me that I think I'm like just living into my calling as a dad. Like, the dad humor is very much just with me in these days. But here are a few of these funny warning labels that I found. On Pop-Tarts, you can see the warning label, pastry filling hot when heated. For a can of Silly Putty, not for use as earplugs. For a specific kind of TV remote, not dishwasher safe. Scratching my head on that one. No judgment if that's been you. And for a particular type of baby stroller, remove child before folding baby stroller. Warnings serve a purpose. Even in those funny and rather silly warnings that read just a second ago, there's a reason that these exist. We want to limit risk, and we want to limit danger and harm to ourselves and to others. And so there's clearly a reason that warnings exist. And for the parents in the room, you know that you cannot issue enough warnings to your children. There is always a new warning. There is always something that you can be telling your child, no matter how young or no matter how old they might be. I'm a living example of that, even in these days. And so as we turn to our text this morning, Moses, who is speaking to the Israelites, getting them ready, that they are on the cusp, they are on the threshold, really, of coming into the promised land, he wants to issue a warning to them. He's like the coach that's got the team down on their knee. They're about to get ready to play the game. They're ready to go for it. And he wants to give them the pregame speech. And so he gives them this warning. He says to take care, to keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. See, Moses has just told the Israelites, as we learned last week from Dr. Splawn, that if we're going to live well and faithfully in this new land that the Israelites are coming to possess, well, then you need to listen to God and you need to listen to his words. You need to take heed of the commandments. And that's great. We very much need to do that. And in just a moment, we're going to see how Moses circles back to remind us again of that here in our few verses this morning. But Moses is giving this warning. And I think if we want to learn one thing from our passage this morning, it's this: that obedience doesn't just happen because we try harder or because we give more effort or because we give our best intentions. Ultimately, obedience will not come from that. And so that is why Moses wants to warn the people here as they're getting ready to head into the promised land. That obedience doesn't just happen automatically. That knowing what you're supposed to know does not mean you actually do or live accordingly. And so he says, in order to keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart. You and I are called to tend to our hearts so that we might live well and faithfully and experience God's grace for us in all times and in all ways. That's the main takeaway this morning, that the Lord calls us to tend to our hearts in order that we might live well and faithfully and experience his grace at all times and in all ways. The heart is the place ultimately where we have to process and we have to make sense of the information and the things that we take in. See, the heart, as the Israelites believed it, that the heart was the place where obedience and feeling and knowledge ultimately came from. Even at this time, in Moses' time, there was a better understanding of the heart than there was the head. And so even in this, the Israelites were very aware, keenly aware, that the heart had to be aligned. The heart had to be aligned in order to live and to obey and to follow the Lord faithfully. If we're going to live well and faithfully, I think this means several things for us, but one is this: that you and I, our hearts have to rehearse what they need and not simply take and consume the things that we want or the things that we think we want. We'll talk about this next week as we look at idols, but the reformer John Calvin would famously say that our hearts are idol factories, that in every single way that we possibly can, we look to make idols out of all the good things that God has given us in this world and on this earth. There are lots of distractions out there amongst us. We have our phones, and we can all think of all the different distractions, right? The things that would maybe take our hearts and our focus and our attention ultimately away from the Lord. And so the ways that we will ultimately tend our hearts is having rhythms and habits and practices that facilitate really our communion, our coming close to the Lord and being with Him and worshiping Him and having Him and Him alone as our ultimate desire and our affection. We have to rehearse these things and practice them, not simply always give in and to take the things that we want or the things that we need. And so, Moses will go on. If we are to tend to our hearts and know and believe that our obedience will ultimately come from our hearts, what does that look like? What does that look like? And Moses, I think, points us here in Deuteronomy 4 to two primary ways that we can tend to our hearts. The first of which is we can pass along and share our faith to our children and to others. So all the things that your eyes have seen from the Lord, make them known to your children and your children's children. The end of verse 9. End of verse 10. So gather these people that they might hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children so. One of the most important callings and truths and realities that you and I have as believers gathered here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church, and really that the church has throughout the world, is to teach our children and to pass along our faith to them. There's arguably no more important task that we have than to do that. We are called to care for, to love, to nurture, and to invest in our children and in others. See, the Israelites here, they're all gathered at Mount Horeb. Moses is calling back to the time when the law was given. Everyone is together, young and old, male and female. And the children, the littlest ones, the middle schoolers, the high school students, the college, they are all together, ready to receive the Lord's instruction. And their hearts, no matter how old, no matter how young, are there to be shaped so that they might live faithfully and experience the Lord's grace. Again, I think about most things through my calling and the truth of my season of life now that I'm a dad. And countless times, I'm reminded of the simplest gospel truths, the simplest truths about our faith from my kids. Just recently, one of my children went to go see the new David movie. Has anyone seen, anyone with kids seen the new David movie in here or heard about? So talking about the life of King David. And one of my kids went to go see the movie and wanted to know all about the Amalekites. Now, who knows about the Amalekites in here? You might be scratching your head, I don't know if I remember them that well. Well, the Amalekites were evil. They were David's and the Israelites' enemies. But the biggest takeaway from the movie was the Amalekites. Are there Amalekites living on my street, on our street? Where might the Amalekites be? What are they doing? Well, Whit, you know, there aren't Amalekites today. But you know what? There are evil people. And there is sin that exists in our world today because we live in a broken and a fallen world. And I confess to you that I often don't give enough attention. I don't tend to my soul in the way that I need to be reminded that evil is a very present and evil reality. But to hear that from one of my children makes it hit home all the more. That as they are wrestling and grappling with these things, that it encourages me to think more deeply and to reflect more faithfully and to challenge myself for how I might live well and to continue to help them about to think about this reality, to think about something like evil in our world today. In just a few weeks, we have an amazing opportunity for us as a church. In just a few weeks, we will host here for 5 days Vacation Bible School. And if tending to the hearts of our children is one of the most important things that you and I can do, then Vacation Bible School might be one of the most important events, if not the most important, that you and I can help and support and to pray for as a church. Sharon is not here today. I don't think that I'm speaking out of turn when I say that there is a spot and there is a place for you at Vacation Bible School. That there is actually a place for you to serve, to love on our children, to keep our building safe while we have children running throughout our building as they're learning and playing and singing. There's a place for you. Thank you to those who have so faithfully and committed yourselves so well to helping and serving with our children and with our students for so long. I do want to say that there is a place for you as well. And I think there might be a tendency for us, if there's somewhere that we can look to, perhaps where we don't believe fully in how the Lord might work in our hearts and our lives to experience His grace, it might be believing that you or us, that we don't actually have anything to offer to those who are younger, to those who are perhaps a few steps behind in the faith and in their journey, their spiritual journey. And I think what our passage points us to today is that if we are gathered together as a church and as we come here week in and week out and as we serve and love and volunteer and be with one another, that everyone, young and old, can have an impact on those around them. Our speaker from this past August, Dr. Andy Jung, he came and spoke at our 2025 Parent Collective. There was one statistic that he shared with us at the Parent Collective that has really stuck with me and I think has stuck with our staff as a whole. It's that the research shows that our young people, ages birth all the way through early 20s, their faith is more likely to stick with them if they have 5 caring adults in their lives outside of their immediate family who make an investment in them, who teach them in Sunday school, who show up and provide their meals for the Brook, who chaperone a student ministry retreat. There's so many different ways, but it's five caring adults. The Lord calls us to tend to our hearts so that we might live well and experience His grace. For those of you who do serve and love on our children and on our young people, and if you've volunteered in any kind of capacity before, what often happens when you go and you serve and you volunteer? Aren't you often the one who is more blessed by what you are doing and what the time that you are committing? Right? You go and you serve at the Faith Church food pantry. You serve with one of our local mission partners. And oftentimes you find that it's almost more of a blessing for you, isn't it? And so whether you are in a stage where you're around lots of young people or not, you and I are called to love and to hand off, to share our faith with others, and that so many times we are blessed, that it is God's intention for you to receive his blessing, to experience his grace when we are around with others. Secondly, you and I are called to remember all the ways that the Lord has sustained and provided us throughout our entire lives, to remember the experiences where we have known and seen God's goodness. In the details here in our passage, Moses, again, he's recalling this time where the Israelites have received the law, and he goes into great detail. He spends a few different verses recounting these details, that everyone is together, that they would listen to God's word. If they were came near, they were at the foot of the mountain where there was fire, where there was darkness and cloud and gloom, and that the Lord was the one who spoke out of the midst of the fire. As you think back on your spiritual journey and your life of faith to this point, there is no detail that is too insignificant for you, for all the ways that the Lord might use those even smallest of moments to continue to build you and strengthen you in your faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. I can remember, I don't remember a whole lot about when I was 7 years old. I don't remember the name of my baseball team that I played on that fall or spring. My dad might, but I don't. I don't remember the first grade that I got on my math test in second grade. I don't have just a lot of memories from second grade, but what I do remember is that in October of that year when I was in second grade, I was baptized. I was baptized at our Baptist church in Tennessee, where we were living at the time. And I remember the details of that day so well. I can remember that my brother and I were baptized together, and that before the service, we were supposed to meet with our pastor. And that just to make sure that we were ready to follow through with baptism, he just wanted to double check on a few things to make sure that we were all good to go, that we understood why we were doing what we were doing. My brother and I kind of froze in the moment, wanting to answer those questions, but that it was our 4-year-old sister at the time who apparently had all the answers and answered for us. But yes, we were baptized that day. I remember those details more so than I remember so many more details about my life, other parts of my life, particularly at that stage. And I can remember in fourth grade, sitting in fourth grade Sunday school class. Again, I don't remember the sports teams that I was on. I don't remember what grade I got on a math test. I don't remember the time when I got in trouble. I don't remember most of that from fourth grade. But what I do remember is that my fourth grade Sunday school teacher looked me in the eyes and said, "Mark, do you understand what grace is?" And then he pointed me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of work of yourself, but it is the gift of God for all those who would believe in Christ Jesus." Moses is wanting to remind the Israelites, and he is wanting to remind you and me, that we have the wonderful privilege of carrying these things with us, having them form and shape us as we continue to live faithfully. Because the unfortunate news is that you and I still live in a broken and in a fallen world. And that giving our hearts, intending our hearts, aligning our hearts ultimately to God's will for us is something that we will never do perfectly. But that you and I can have confidence, even now, that we can have confidence today that the Lord would use these moments and he would be working in our lives today to help and to shape us for where we are ultimately headed in the future. And that our best lives are ultimately going to be lived when we will completely surrender our hearts over to him. Not getting it right all the time, not having all of the answers, but trusting and believing that he will always be with us. As Jesus was ready and was about to depart from the earth, he was ready to head to the cross. He wanted to remind his disciples that he would be with them, that ultimately he would go to the cross in order that while you might be at peace with God, that our hearts might ultimately be fully secure and be given over to him once he has gone to the cross and risen from the grave. And so as Jesus knows these things, as we know these things now, Jesus says in John 14, verse 25, he says, "These things, everything at the Last Supper that I have spoken to you, I have spoken to you while I am with you. But you have a helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you these things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I hope and pray that we would take comfort in these words and know that even now we have an advocate, we have the Spirit who is interceding for us, who is guiding us and helping us to tend to our hearts. And I pray that we might do that as we look to share our faith, to pass along our faith to our young people, and as we remember well and faithfully all the ways that God has called us to himself. I pray that for you, and I pray that for all of us here today. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we confess to you that tending to our hearts is difficult. Lord, we know and believe that, Lord, you long for so much more of us than we often even think or sometimes even expect of ourselves. Father, that you desire all of us, our very selves and our hearts, everything that we are. So, Lord, I pray that we would take seriously your words here in Deuteronomy of passing along and sharing our faith with others, investing in the lives of our young people, our children, and our students. Pray, Lord, that we would remember well and faithfully, Lord, all the ways, Lord, that you have been with us, Lord, that you might continue to carry along and sustain us by the power of your Spirit. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. This morning, if you feel led, I want to invite you here in just a moment during our hymn of response. If you feel led to come and join our church, to be a part of what God is doing here at Mount Brook Baptist Church, I would invite you to come forward and to make that public here at this time. Perhaps you have never experienced fully the Lord's grace, and maybe for the first time, God has worked on your hearts to want to come and profess a desire to be baptized, to follow through in the waters of baptism. If that applies to you as well, I would invite you to come forward too. Let us stand and sing as we sing our hymn of response, hymn number 383, Near to the Heart of God.